Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Fidelity Bank 2022 FY earnings call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal for an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Nneka Onyeali-Ikpe. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good day, everyone. My name is Nneka Onyeali-Ikpe, MD CEO of Fidelity Bank PLC. It is my pleasure to welcome all of you to Fidelity 2022 financial earnings call. On the call with me today are the following executives and principal officers of our bank. Kevin, the Executive Director, Chief Risk Officer of the bank. Ken, Executive Director in charge of Lagos and Southwest Business. Stanley, Executive Director, Chief Operations and Information Officer. Pamela, the Executive Director in charge of the South Business. Victor, Chief Financial Officer. Abolore, Head of our Corporate Banking Business. Akintoye, our Treasurer. Adetunji, the Divisional Head in charge of Strategy, Innovation, and Business Transformation. Sam, who heads our Investor Relations desk. The IR presentation was uploaded on our website yesterday, so I'll be speaking mainly to the facts behind the figures. On the macro front, our operating environment in 2022 witnessed some challenges, including high inflation rates, capital flight, and volatile foreign exchange, which impacted negatively on the overhead cost of most businesses. In response to these challenges, the monetary policy rate was reviewed upwards four times, the highest in a single year since 2011. Notwithstanding, the economy was relatively robust as the real GDP grew by 3.1%. During the year, we received notable awards and accolades, including the Best SME Bank in Nigeria by Global Banking and Finance Awards, the Best Private Bank in Nigeria by Financial Times, The Banker Magazine Award, as well as the Platinum and Service Ambassadors Award from the Development Bank of Nigeria. We also repaid $400 million of our Eurobonds that matured in October 2022. I will now speak to our 2022 financial year-end numbers. We achieved a 34.4% growth in our gross earnings from 251 billion naira in 2021 to 337 billion naira. This was driven largely by interest and similar income, which increased by 45% to 296 billion. Our net interest margin increased from 4.7% to 6.3%. This was achieved by optimizing yields on earning assets while ensuring that our average funding costs remained relatively low. To keep our funding costs low, deposit mobilization was focused on stable and low-cost funds. Total deposits increased by 27% from 2 trillion in December 2022 to 2.6 trillion in the reporting period. A breakdown of the deposit numbers shows that we increased current account deposits by 528 billion naira and savings deposits by 122 billion, while tenured funds were reduced by 94 billion naira. In relative terms, our low-cost deposits increased by 43%, while our tenured funds decreased by 18%, as our low-cost deposit now accounts for 84% of our total deposits, up from 75% in 2021 full year. Overall, our average funding cost increased marginally from 4.2% in 2021 to 4.6% in 2022. This is in spite of the increase in the MPR from 11.5% to 16.5%. Given the high yield environment, we were able to boost our margins by improving our yield on earning assets, which increased from 11% to 12.2%, while our earnings base grew by 19%. Total assets increased by 22% from 3.3 trillion to 4 trillion, with 67% or 2.6 trillion invested in earning assets. Similarly, our total foreign currency assets increased by 9% to $2.8 billion. Our total loan book grew by $458 billion. However, the intervention funds and Naira devaluation accounted for 21% and 13% respectively. We have continued to leverage on our excess CRR to take advantage of the various intervention windows created by the central bank to fund our risk asset growth and support the real sector. These intervention funds allow qualified customers under the scheme to access loans at concessionary rates. Non-performing loans was constant at 2.9%, while cost of risk dropped from 0.5% to 0.3% in the review period. Our regulatory ratios remained well above minimum thresholds, with liquidity ratio at 40% compared to the minimum requirement of 30% of capital adequacy at 18% compared to the minimum requirement of 50%. Our CAR remained at 18.1% compared to the minimum requirement of 15%. Overall, 2022 was a good year for us, and we achieved a profit before tax of $53.7 billion. The Board of Fidelity is proposing a final dividend of 40 kobo per share, which puts the total dividend for the year at 50 kobo per share. I want to assure our esteemed stakeholders that we will sustain this performance in 2023, and we have put in place necessary measures to ensure that we meet our guidance for the year. We thank you for your support. We will now take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then 1 on your touch tone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star and then 2 to remove yourself from the list. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then 1. We will pause to see if we have questions. The first question comes from Oluwaseun Arambada from FBN Quest Merchant Bank. Please proceed with your question.
All right. Thank you very much and good afternoon. Thank you for hosting this call. Please confirm you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, a couple of questions. The first one would be around the growth numbers we saw on your non-interest income line, coming from the growth in. To my mind, I think that the cash crunch contributed to the spike in digital transactions in Q4. So I just want to get a sense of what kind of growth numbers you'd be expecting to see going forward in a normalized environment where we don't have that kind of shock. Then the second one would be on your asset quality. So looking across, you know, the breakdown of NPLs across sector, I could see that there was a jump in NPL ratios for individuals, and then looking at construction sector and communications. I just want to know, is this due to any single obligor risk? I would appreciate if you could shed more light on, you know, NPLs in the sectors and what you expect going forward. The third one will be on how you are thinking of the macroeconomic environment in 2023. What's your assessment of the environment, and how has that informed your guidance for loan growth and expectations for loan loss provisions? And on your loan book, in which sectors are you looking to increase exposure in 2023, and in which sectors do you expect weakness? The last question, part of the, would be around the completed private placement. So it is expected that the private placements will further boost your capital base. So I just want to know how you intend to deploy this capital given the economic environment. That is, will you be cautious on loan growth, or you are looking to deploy capital more into fixed income securities? That will be all for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. First one being the increase in our deposits in quarter four. Yes, it's a combination of both. Yes, there was a combination of monies coming in for deposits for the around the Naira redesign, but also we had a massive low-cost deposit initiative and drive, which we drove aggressively. This you will see from the growth in our low-cost deposits, and that translates to the increase in our deposits. So basically, it was a two-pronged approach. And then on the issue of the increase in transactions on the digital platform, yes, we witnessed a 40% growth in our adoptions because of the Naira redesign. And because Nigerians didn't really have an option but to adopt the digital solutions. With cash now available, we expect that there'll be a little slowdown. But however, all the new adopters, we expect to continue to utilize the channels because most people have gotten used to it. And we've also provided incentives for the customers to sustain the momentum. And there's a lot of push to ensure that the platforms are working very well and that the customers have a seamless and experience, a very good experience on our platforms. So what we expect is that there will still be growth, probably a little moderated, but there's a lot of effort on the low-cost deposits drive as well as the digital adoptions. Thank you. Then on the issue of the NPL jump, these cases are one-off, but I'll have my CRO address them specifically.
Thank you very much, Nneka. Thank you. On the NPLs that you saw in the individuals, construction and communication sector, as the NBA has said, these are single obligor issues and are each of them just one obligor that, you know, defaulted and went into stage three. Of the three obligors, we expect that one of them will definitely be able to recover and get it back to stage two and then stage one. So there's light at the end of the tunnel for that one. For the other two, we're going full blast on recovery. So we've taken all of it into our numbers, and we don't expect that to be an issue going forward. The rest of that those portfolios are good, and we expect NPLs to remain sound in those sectors going forward. Thank you.
Okay, on the question of for the rest of the year, yes, the elections 2023 is an election year, and it's normally a year of two halves. The elections have come and gone. What we are seeing is normalcy returning, and business activities have gradually picked up. We believe that after a successful handover in May and relevant appointments, that the economy will be ushered into a growth phase. The outlook for Nigerian economy is very positive. We expect that the election speaks to the fact that there will be market-oriented government. This will be a market-oriented government that are disposed to removal of the fuel subsidy, which will save the economy over 3.5 trillion, and the savings will be invested in the key areas of the economy, which will create new jobs and sustain and support business growth. We've also seen that there's a stability on the production side. There's an increase in production of the crude oil in the country. We've inched up to 1.4 million barrels a day, and it's on the upward trajectory. We've also seen that the government has intensified efforts to contain the oil theft, as well as the fact that the security situation in the country is being also given serious attention. All of this, we believe, will improve the outlook for 2023. Yes, the private placement, we have concluded that successfully, and you've asked us what we intend to deploy for. Of course, due to the surge that we've seen during the direct redesign and the pressure on our platforms, we are going to deploy the funds to our technology as well as our technology spend to improve our IT infrastructure in light of the cash policy, and the balance will go to our working capital to be deployed based on the value that is given by that we need to spend. But I'll have my ED CIO speak to it, Stanley.
Okay, all right, thank you very much. On that, I think what we've done, we've raised, $13.9 billion. And what we're trying to do, part of it is to spend on IT, because we reason that during this cash light policy and the implementation, so we need to improve our touch points so that our customers can do their businesses in the most efficient and seamless manner. So we are spending a lot on that. And the balance will be put into working capital, of course, which could be based on value, actually. So whatever presents the best value for us, that's what we'll be putting it. So that's how we intend to do that investment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, just another reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and then one. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star and then one. The next question comes from Adebayo Adebanjo from Cardinal Stone. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you very much. Please confirm that you can hear me.
You can.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much for this audience. So just a couple questions. So first question is, please could you speak to your upstream oil and gas and power exposure, given the significant stage 2 classifications, you know, what risks are likely from those assets? Also want to know why I see weakness in funding costs, you know, despite the notable decline in expensive deposits and the repayments of Eurobond exposure. So what should we expect for funding costs this year? Also want to know, there was a significant growth in asset creation supported by accelerated funding. Do you expect a similar play this year as well? And then I think my final question will be, what sorts of conversations are ongoing with the CBN regarding the supply of redesigned currency? What is the risk of a resurgence of that kind of disruption, which we saw in the first quarter of this year, if, you know, poor supply persist till the end of the year? So that's all from me. Thank you.
Yes, you're right about the covering oil and gas upstream and power exposures. And as the MD said, ITO is the principal one that we have in the oil and gas upstream sector. As you probably will know, we are in this transaction with 8 other parties, including local banks, international banks, and Shell. And at this time, there has been significant progress in finalizing the restructuring of the facility after intensive negotiations between the lenders and the borrower. In addition to that, the customer is finalizing the evacuation of their crude through alternative routes, to basically monetize their crude oil production. Now, these are very significant developments and point a pointer to the fact that this loan will certainly move back to stage one. Now, at this point, all lenders are treating the loan the same way across all the banks, and so it's stage two in all the banks. On the power sector loans, we have three obligors responsible for the stage two loans we have in that sector. What we have done is to take restructuring action in a timely manner to ensure that the loans do not deteriorate. And we've been able to further ring-fence the cash flows, especially with a recent implementation of service-based tariff and gradual commencement of a contract-based market. There's also a new management team which has a mandate to improve collections and stabilize the business operations of the companies before the assets are put up for sale. Now, these have resulted in some positive impacts. Revenues have improved. Cash flow has increased by between 30 and 40% post-restructuring of these discos. Now, the club of lenders are also working with the regulators, including CBN, NEC, and BPE, to continue to optimize the operations of the companies and bring more value to the assets before they are sold to capable investors. Now, in terms of the impact on our books, we have already made an average of 15% and we consider this level of provision sufficient at this time. And given the positive traction we've seen from the measures we've taken so far, we believe that the assets are in a better position, and we believe that we should be able to move them gradually back to stage one in short order. Thank you.
Our second question is, why the weakness in our funding costs? Was that the question that I had?
What do you see in terms of future in 2023?
2023, okay, fine. Okay, between the month of January and April, the monetary policy rates have been reviewed twice, from 16% to 18% in two consecutive MPCs. And these are the direct funding impacts on direct impact on the funding cost, especially saving deposit rates, which is benchmarked at 30% of MPR. And because these increases are targeted at stemming the rise in headline inflation and foreign exchange pressure on the Naira, we believe the inflationary pressure will still prevail, and which I think will still prevail, as well as the issues around the Ukraine and Russia conflict and the impact on us. So these factors still prevail. So we believe that the average funding cost and yields, by extension, will continue to tick up. But we have strategically positioned our funding base to ensure that we optimize our margins.
Sorry, I think there was also a question on risk asset growth, where we see it in 2023 in terms of sectors. Am I correct, Bio?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, what we see is that there are opportunities, significant opportunities in key sectors of the economy. And the one that we see very clearly now is on the infrastructure renewal. With the removal of railway and power from the federal government exclusive list, we see a major growth area, major growth opportunity. We also see opportunities in manufacturing and telecoms. Telecoms on the back of the cash light policy and the pandemic impact has continued. Of course, we see opportunities on pharmaceutical and medical supplies, as well as food processing and e-commerce. So these are areas that we intend to focus and our growth for the year 2023. However, our growth, we already guided for 10 to 15% of our loan book. Thank you.
Another question on CBN. Would you see the redesign of Naira by the CBN? What was the conversation between the banks and the CBN?
The central bank conversation on the redesign. Okay, fine. We have seen a lot of improvement in the cash supply as it has normalized. The queues have disappeared. And we have been able to onboard many customers, new customers, on our various alternative platforms. We do not expect to witness any disruption for the rest of the year, because we've been guided for end of the year by the Supreme Court. So what is happening now is that we are ensuring that we're all ready for the cutover at the end of the year. And the central bank has continued to supply enough money that we need till then. So we do not see any reason for any disruption.
Sorry, Bayo, did you answer all your questions, or do you have additional questions?
Yeah, and I wanted to know, I mean, the question was really about if, you know, the deadline for the old currency, you know, is reached, and, you know, we still don't see significant supply of the new notes. Do you see, you know, a similar disruption that happened in the first quarter again, maybe early next year, happen in the event that, you know, the new currency supply does not improve before the deadline? No,
we think that the Mint has sufficient time to print at what the country needs, and the experience of January through March, as the lessons learned, so we don't expect to see this disruption again. But we have enough time for them to print as much as they need to supply. Thank you. And there's a lot of currency in circulation right now. We don't have any. We checked even as of today. All our touch points, all our service points have enough money to distribute, to pay out.
Adebayo, are those all your questions?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to finalize, you know, so just, you know, give us, so what are your near-term strategic imperatives, you know, to guide investors, you know, what should we be thinking about, you know, as far as the bank is concerned, you know, over the course of 3 years, you know, relative to your peers? Is there any groundbreaking, you know, strategic initiatives that the bank is taking, you know, which is kind of different from what everybody else is doing?
Well, the bank is trying to make sure that we have footprints outside Nigeria. As you probably know, we already signed a binding agreement for the acquisition of Union Bank London. This will take off in a few months, and that's a major breakthrough for us. And we're in the final stage of the approval with the Prudential Regulatory Authority in the UK. On the medium to the long run, we plan to expand to key markets in Africa to broaden our focus and diversify our earnings. There are several other non-banking initiatives that we have, and we'll discuss as they come up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That will be all for me.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, just a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and then one. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star and then one. The next question comes from Ayodeji Dawodu from Bank Trust & Co. Please proceed with your question, Ayodeji.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you very much for the call. Just a few questions from my side, if you don't mind, and congrats on the full year and first quarter results. I just first of all wanted to follow up on the ITO discussion and the restructuring. In terms of the restructuring, could you provide a little bit more detail? Was it a case of you restructured the loan with longer payback period or lower oil price? Just get a better understanding on what exactly the restructuring was centered around. On your balance sheet, could I get a rough idea as to whether the bank is net long or short foreign currency and by how much? And if so, also in relation to that, pardon me, did you enter into any foreign currency swaps with the central bank? as well. That would be very helpful. And lastly, I mean, looking into 2023, I mean, do you see any significant risks to the bank or the banking sector going forward? And that'll be all for me. Thank you.
The ITO, on the ITO restructuring, I'll have my CRO speak more to that. The restructuring is ongoing, and like well know, we have 8 other banks in this syndication, but he'll speak to the details.
Okay, thank you, Ayodeji. On ITO, basically, what the structure is about is extending the repayment period. Given the fact that there hasn't been much in terms of repayments based on previous terms, so that's it. The original benchmark price for the original loan was already very low, so we don't really envisage another change in that benchmark price in the restructure terms. It's basically to extend it to convert the crude oil assets into actual cash flows, see that coming in, and then extend the period of time for the repayment. As the MD said, it's in final stages, and so the complete details of that restructure will only be known finally after all parties have finally put their pen to paper as far as the restructure is concerned. Thank you.
The second question, if I remember, was on our net open position. Yes, we are long on our USD net open position of about $100 million. This brings us closer to the regulatory limit, and we'll intend to keep it at that. Yes, we have swaps. Yes, you asked if we had swaps. Yes, we have swaps of $460 million with the central bank. And counterparties. Please, can you take the last question?
Yes, sure. Thanks for the answer so far. So my last question was really on the outlook. I mean, you've talked quite well on what we can expect over the near and medium term in terms of growth. But I wanted to see, what do you see as a potential risk to the bank and maybe the Nigerian banking sector over the near term? I mean, there's a lot of talk of a potential change in central bank governor and key regulator. Just talk to us a little bit about the risk to the outlook.
Okay, thank you, Ayodeji. On the risk outlook, I think I'll start from the macro, and I'll say that barring any unforeseen developments similar to either COVID or the Russia-Ukraine war, we expect that the economy will maintain a growth path. Recently, the growth projection for the GDP projection for Nigeria was increased from 3.0 to 3.2%, which tells you that there's a sense that things are getting better and will continue to get better. Now, the risks apart from that are generic. You have the usual suspects. I don't know if I should go into details. You already know them, so nothing new. You have FX. You have rising interest rates. You have technology issues, cyber-related issues, those kind of things. They are there. So those are generic. Now, coming to your specific comment about the possible change in CBN, we don't have any inkling on that, so we can't really comment on that. So that's what I'll say. But as you know, generally, the central bank is focused on financial stability, and that's going to be a continuous focus all the time, I believe. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. That does conclude our question and answer session. I would now like to hand over to Nneka Onyadi-Igbe for closing remarks. Thank you very much, ma'am.
For attending this call, just to reassure you that over the years we have built a resilient and sustainable balance sheet. I can confidently assure you that regardless of the headwinds in the domestic economy of Nigeria, we will continue to deliver, and we will deliver on the guidance we have promised at the beginning of the year. We will meet all set targets. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you very much for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.